Welcome to the Igniting Hope Podcast, where you will experience catalytic encouragement and practical tools to renew your mind with truth instead of lies, so you can experience transformation in your emotions, circumstances, and influence. Let's break off self-limiting beliefs together like never before.
The title of today's message is Don't Just Try to Fix Things. This is going to be a powerful one. Hey, before I get into this message, let me tell you the Transformational Mind Renewal course is going to start at the beginning of April, I believe April 1st, 2024. And if you are looking for something to go deeper in this message you hear on the podcast, it's a five-month course, online course made for people on the go. We share at Igniting Hope methods, insights on renewing the mind that I believe you won't hear any other place. I've never heard anybody else share these things, and they are transformational. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's impossible to renew your mind without seeing transformation in your emotions and then in your circumstances. Hey, IgnitingHopeAcademy.com if you're interested in finding out more information on the Transformational Mind Renewal course. Hey, let's get into today's message. Don't just try to fix things. Now, the focus of what this is going to be is that if we're just trying to fix ourselves and not becoming something, then we will miss what we're called to do. Now, before I get into it, I want to say what I'm not saying. Because I'm going to be talking today about spending more time on what's right with us, spending more time on beliefs to develop than focusing in on behaviors to fix. But here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you're reckless in your behavior or abusive in your behavior, I'm not saying don't get help. Those are things. Or if you're in a season of your life where you've broken trust with key people in your life, hey, there's a strategy. There's a need to address that. But I believe this message will even help those who are battling those kind of things. Now, don't just try to fix things. If our emphasis in our life is defensive, trying to prevent bad from happening, it's like playing basketball. If you just stay down on the defensive end and just try to prevent the opposition from scoring, and you never go on the offensive end, you're probably not going to win because they're going to eventually score against us. And I've been fascinated with the apostolic prayers. I mean, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1. I've spoken about them on these podcasts before, but I'm seeing some things even deeper on it. And I'm seeing the emphasis of the Apostle Paul on what are the foundations that we need to have in our life before we actually try to correct behaviors in our lives. Now, what we believe is more important than what we do. The kingdom of God is not moved forward by good behavior. It's moved forward by good beliefs. The question of the hour is not, Lord, what should I do? The question of the hour is, Lord, what should I believe? It's not that character and integrity are not important because people won't trust you without it. But what we believe ultimately is more important than what we do. And I share out of Galatians 3, 1-5 that the same way we get into the kingdom is the same way we advance in the kingdom. It's by hearing good news and believing it. Hearing good news and believing it. So again, we are to spend more effort on what we believe and our belief systems than we are trying to fix our behaviors. Hebrews 4 really speaks about that. It says, hey, verse 1, it says, fear let us fear lest we fall short of entering his rest. Later on, it says, strive to enter his rest. Verse 3 of Hebrews 4 talks about those who believed have entered his rest. And so there's an emphasis there of saying, wow, we fear not entering the rest, but the focus on how we enter into rest, spiritual rest, is by focusing in on our beliefs. These apostolic prayers reinforce that. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's praying, he says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, that you may know. Now, so he's saying here, and again, I love his focus on prayer. His focus on prayer is for revelation, the eyes of understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation arising in people. And even those that you're leading right now, even whether it's in your family, church, other locations, those that you influence, one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is that people would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that they may know some things. And in this first chapter, Paul says, hey, instead of trying to fix things, instead of trying to me first addressing behaviors, which he does in chapters 4 and 5, I want to make sure you get something. Because if you don't get this as your foundation and you're just trying to fix your behaviors and all the things that he lists in there, everything from lying, stealing, just drunkenness to sexual things. He said, here's what I'm hearing. If you don't get this knowledge in you, then it's going to weaken your ability and you're not going to even have all the resources that you need to really upgrade the behaviors that he talks about. And so in chapter 1, he says there's these three things. He says that we would know. Number one, that we would know the hope of his calling. This is understanding our significance. Understanding the significance of who we are and the significance of our assignment. Nobody has an insignificant assignment. The only reason that, by the way, I love that beep. that's kind of like a God thing. So, whoop, hey, listen carefully to this. That we would know and have revelation in the spirit of wisdom in the hope of our calling. We know we're significant. The only reason we wouldn't be significant is if we don't believe we're significant. Everybody is equally significant on the planet. One of the lies I love to laugh at, I've got it in my book, let's just laugh at that, is heaven's best places are reserved for speakers and worship leaders. Heaven's best places are reserved for speakers and worship. No, we're all significant. And so this is the hope of his calling. We're significant and what we're doing is significant. That's why we attach faith. We despise not the day of small beginnings. I used to say, Lord, I can't wait until I do something great for you. He said, Steve, instead of waiting to do something great for me, why don't you attach great faith to what you're doing and it will become great. So this was a passion of Paul's, that we would know the hope of his calling. It's big. Secondly, something that he wants us to know is what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says, you need to know this. You need to know there's unlimited resources available to you. He says, I'm praying that you'll get revelation of because you in Jesus have unlimited resources. Sources for power, provision, for healing, for breakthrough. And I'm praying, Paul says, I'm praying for you that you'll get this before you start working on behaviors, before you, that you'll give greater emphasis on praying for revelation, meditating on these things, because those are going to be the keys to actually cause things to drop off you. You're going to have so much revelation that it's going to set you free. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So as we abide in it and we just linger in his word, as we think about his word, as we pray into his word, as we ask God for revelation, we'll know the truth, and that truth will make us free. So the second thing, we have unlimited resources. And then he says, the third thing that he prays, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be open. The third thing in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? He's saying, man, I'm praying for you that you'll understand the power of beliefs. And when you begin to understand the power of beliefs, you recognize there's no limit. There's no limits. God hasn't predestined you. He hasn't predestined me with limitations. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believes. If God wanted us to think small and with limitations, he did a bad job in telling us so. If God wanted us to think small for our lives, He did a bad job. I mean, the Apostle Paul must have gone to a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it church. Philippians 4:30, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, basically, whatever situation you put me in, I'm going to thrive. I can do it. I can do whatever's needed. I can adapt well into every situation. Jesus told in Mark 9, 23 and 24, he's talking to the man whose son has been throwing himself into the fire and water. He's demon possessed. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. And so this third thing is that the revelation that there's no limitations on our lives. There's no limitations. But that Paul says, man, I want you to get this. I need that revelation to come upon you. Because if you try to just work on your behaviors and work on trying to make things better, and I'm all for working hard on things. But if we try to fix things without those revelations, we're really gonna, it's kind of like coming into a battle with a squirt gun instead of a machine gun. Whew. Yeah. So that we would understand and have the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding to know that we're significant, to know that we have unlimited resources, to know the greatness, exceeding greatness of his power toward us, to know there's no limits on our lives. There's no limits. Somebody say no limits. No limits. So today, I want to ask you a question concerning a dream you want to get into or a problem in your life that you want to see fixed or overcome. I want to ask you a question. What percentage of your effort is spent on what you're doing, upgrading what you're doing, and what percentage of your effort is spent on upgrading what you're believing? Now, I don't know about you, but you know, when I first began to really ask myself this question, I realized that I probably spent maybe 80% thinking about what I was doing and maybe 20%, if that, on what I was believing. And the Apostle Paul, you go back to Galatians 3, he'd say, oh, foolish Steve. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Because he rebuked the Galatians. He says, this one thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You've begun in the Spirit, but now are you trying to be made perfect in the flesh? And he calls flesh focusing more on what we're doing than what we're believing. And that's really what I believe the Lord's doing right now in your life. He is releasing you from a works focus, from a behavior focus, and he's releasing grace on you for you to really go after the main thing. And again, this is why our Transformational Mind Renewal course that's starting up April 2024, it's why it's so powerful, because it immerses people in 5 months of what I just said. Woo-hoo! All right, man, wow, this has been a fun one. Yes, I just see the Lord giving you revelation, and you the spirit of revelation, the eyes of your understanding being opened. Just first of all, to the importance of having that happen. And then once we've made that the priority, and once we're growing in those beliefs and those revelations about our significance, about unlimited resources, about there being no limits on our lives, then we're going to have the proper, how should I say it? The proper perspective to be able to deal healthily with what's wrong. And yeah, again, we may need to get counseling, we may need accountability, we may need to just really humble ourselves before people about behaviors. And while we're going on this journey, yes, I know that is true, but let's not just focus on fixing things. Let's focus on getting our beliefs right. And then we're going to find that those things are going to get fixed in a way, because we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make us free. Wow. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Igniting Hope Ministries. By the way, at the end, I'm going to share with you another little secret on how to increase joy in your life. Hey, if you want more of what we're doing, ignitinghope.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. I'm going to be traveling upcoming. Let's see, where am I going? I will be in Wichita, Kansas. I will be in Pennsylvania at the Dove Conference in April. By the way, I said Pennsylvania on a previous podcast. You can go to our website, ignitinghope.com, find our itinerary. In May, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, Salem, Oregon. In June, I'll be in Albany, Oregon, San Diego. And then in July, I'm going to be in Council Bluffs, Iowa, near Omaha, which will be so good. And then Brisbane, Australia, in New York in August. Hey, if you're able to join me at any of those, come up and say hi and say, hey, I'm a podcast listener. I'm part of the Igniting Hope family. Woo-hoo. And also, just you can go to ignitinghopeacademy.com. We've got some great things upcoming on marriage. We're right in the middle of a culture of empowerment for parents. We're going to be releasing our course, again, doing Fully Convinced, an 8-week course. I believe that's in June. A lot of good things are coming up. Hey, we here at Igniting Hope Ministries are here to ignite your hope. There's no hopeless circumstances. There's just people who do not have hope. And once people get true hope, circumstances cannot stay the same. Hope is an unstoppable force. If something's going to change, somebody has hope. Somebody believes the future will be better than the present, and they have the power to help make it so. That's really what hope is. Hope and vision are linked. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision and without hope, people move into survival mode, move into self-protection mode. But when there's hope, there is energy that's released. There's vision, there's solutions. And our hope level determines our influence level. He who has the most hope is the most influence. I believe after love, hope is the most powerful leadership, influential quality that there is. It's very difficult to influence that which we do not have hope for. Increasing hope is the evidence we're renewing our mind with truth instead of lies. Decreasing hope is the evidence we're renewing our mind with lies instead of truth. And remember, too, the joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart, a cheerful heart is good like medicine. We don't need strength at the end of the battle. We need strength in the middle of the battle. I used to say, well, Lord, when all my uncertainties are over, when all my personal weaknesses are overcome, when all the people in my life are doing what I think they should be doing, when I'm only hearing good news in the media, then I'll be joyful. Lord says, if you're not joyful now, the chance of you being joyful then is slim. And we can stir up joy by two ways, thanksgiving and delighting in the Lord. I teach a lot on that and so powerful. But I wanted to just give you one more key on joy. It's this. A lot of people are non-joyful because they don't celebrate their progress. They don't even know how far they've come. They're only focused on how far they need to go in their own life, in their family, and in other situations, in career, in finances, etc., influence. And as we're just continually looking forward to where we should be and we're not, it's a joy robber. But when we look backwards and look at how far we've come, look at what we've overcome, look at what God has done, it stirs up joy. It stirs up strength. It stirs up a healthy perspective to face what is ahead. I release the joy of the Lord over you. By the way, if you didn't listen to my podcast last week, that was a good one. I was just a prophetic rampage of words. And I believe that if you haven't listened to it, or if you did and you want to listen to it again, there's at least one of those words that the Lord's going to highlight and say, it's for you. And you're going to use it as a sword of the Spirit to move forward in your life. Hey, thanks so much for being a part of our podcast family. If you've listened to a lot of podcasts, we bless that. If this is your first one, welcome. We are truly here to ignite your hope. Got a lot of free resources for you on ignitinghope.com. We have powerful courses on ignitinghopeacademy.com, social media. We're all over the place. All right, much love to you all. Blessings until I see you again.
Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part of our live stream of this Igniting Hope podcast by joining our social media channels on YouTube and Facebook and hitting notifications. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Help us get the message of hope out to more people by liking and sharing this podcast. Also, we have so many more incredible resources for you, including books, events, and courses on our website, ignitinghope.com. And why don't you say this concerning the message in today's podcast? I receive it, and I'll never be the same again.